the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. I highly suggest you get NBA 2K26 right now, because NBA 2K27 is around the corner, because we are in the NBA finals. That means this season's almost done. The new 2K game's almost here, and we're close to crowning a new NBA champion. As always, it's myself, Momuntian, and alongside the legendary two-time NBA championship winning coach, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing today?
Doing good. Waited for several days for this game, boy, and it didn't disappoint. You know, both teams played extremely hard. Spurs, when they watch the film, will be a little disappointed, obviously, the way they played second half. Got outscored by 17 points at home in the second half.
You know, Coach.
Yeah.
We're going to dive into this game. We're going to break it down from all angles and all aspects. I was on the call for Prime. The NBA Finals on ABC for you guys, but for the rest of the world, you can actually see them on Prime. I was doing Game 1. I'll also be doing Game 5 if we've got a Game 5. And I left the studio and I called Coach, you know, about what time we want to do the show. For context, it's 5:20 in the morning right now. I walked out of the studio and I said to Coach, Coach, it's light outside.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just sunrise. It was orange and blue skies.
Oh, God.
Because the New York Knicks stole game one on the road. You started talking about a game before I got my intro off, Coach. We 63 episodes into this season and you already, you messing up my flow. Come on now. I lined up that intro so nicely. You want to go in here and talk about fast break points and this and that. I said, hold on a minute. I got a beautiful intro segue.
You and Stephen A. Smith on your orange and blue skies. Yeah.
Okay. No, first of all, never compare me to that man, because I know what I'm watching when I watch basketball. No,
I know how much you make.
He makes more in a week than I make in a year, man. I'm the one here actually breaking down the games. Life's not fair.
He makes more than half of the countries around the world in a week.
Makes more than half the league. He's on a $100 million contract. I mean, fair play to him, but let's talk about this game, because that's what we do best, right?
Yeah.
105-95, the New York Knicks, the San Antonio, who at one point were up double digits in this game. Jalen Brunson went back to the locker room with an injury early on. Then he picked up another injury. So first it was his knee, then it was his ankle. It looked terrible for the Knicks. They found a way, like they did in game one, to come back from a double digit deficit. And they stole game one on the road with a fantastic performance. I mean, I can't commend them enough for this one. What jumped out to you, Coach, watching this game one?
There's been so much talk of the time off, the 9-10 days off, but I think they learned the first time against Cleveland having the time off. There's a real way to keep yourself sharp, and Kat talked about it after the game, and that is, at this point in the year, you need to play every day that you have off 5-on-5. You know, you got to basically have simulation games, and they don't have to be long. They just could be a quarter, you know, a quarter and a half, but where guys are competing 5-on-5. So they get in a rhythm. It's not about coming in, running through plays and shooting. That's the safe thing. So those people don't get hurt.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is they have to play 5-on-5. So they're used to guarding people and stuff like that. I thought they came out with great excitement and they tried to play so fast. They thought they were playing against Cleveland again.
They came out playing with such great pace, right? Off makes or misses, they were pushing the ball up the floor, trying to play with speed. Do you think that they were just kind of testing the legs out of the Spurs, who were coming off of game 7 with not much rest?
That's a very, very strong possibility. But I think, you know, my feeling and my theory on the road is that when you're playing in these high-level games, when you're the visiting team, you have to control the tempo. And we used to say, we'll run it home, but we'll walk it on the road. Mm-hmm. And that way we can control the tempo, try to take the crowd out of the game and make it a half-court game. And that's what they did in the second half, and ironically outscored them by 17 points.
Yeah, you know, what was interesting to me to start this game, Wembanyama and Kat were guarding each other on both ends of the floor. And I think it worked well for the Spurs. And I think Kat did a good job guarding Wemby in this one, because Wemby finished 6 of 21. He did finish with 26 points, but 12 of them were from his 13 free throws. He had a very inefficient game. I think Kat did a good job. Mitchell Robinson did a good job. OG did a good job. But I liked when Wemby and Kat were guarding each other, because in the second half, the Spurs went away from that. And Karl-Anthony Towns was able to corral four offensive rebounds because he had smaller guys. He had Keldon Johnson on him or Vassell on him. He was able to get those offensive rebounds, get fouled, and put the ball back in the hoop. And I think, I don't know why the Spurs went away from that matchup on the defensive side.
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I really think they could have, I have no trouble with the matchup, as you said. But if you know, if you watch the film of the game, when Kat gets the ball past the three-point line, Wimby was way up tight on him, too tight. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to do that.
And Kat was blowing by, getting downhill to the hoop.
You're 7 foot five. You can back off the guy 5, 6, 7 feet.
Yeah, you got the wingspan.
If he takes a three-pointer, he's got to shoot over that hand from way out there. That wouldn't be a good shot. But he got so close to him, he just drove around him several times, you know. So I think the adjustment just should have been just move him back. That's all.
You know, I didn't like a lot of the Spurs' process early in this game. Like you talked about how they defended Kat. I also think their threes, their offense early on, they were shooting a lot of threes that were the first look down. It was come down, one pass, shoot a three. Come down, one pass, shoot a three. That's not good process, and that's not San Antonio basketball.
Well, I think that they, you know, Mitch Johnson has this concept of we're going to play fast, we're going to play with pace and all that. But you have the biggest player in the world that's good, you know, on your team. And I think, you know, when you're in these huge games, it's not a regular season game. The object is to come down every time and get a good shot, frankly.
And it allows you to get your defense set.
And don't do it on one pass or no passes. Mm-hmm. And I think if you, when you look at it, their field goal percentage was so low on just regular shots and three-point shots.
36% from the field, 25.6% from three on the game.
Yeah, I think when you they look at the film, they'll have a lot of regrets about it. And again, this is when the fun starts for the coaches.
Yeah.
Yep. Not, if you're down, it's not fun, but this is when you get to participate because now you have to make adjustments. And this is when, so I expect them to make some adjustments. The Knicks, though, 12 straight wins, all by double figures. Incredible. Never seen anything like this.
The streak continues.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see them come out. And, you know, what happens as the, let's talk about the psychology. The Knicks' psychology now is let's go get them and get greedy and get two. Okay. The other guys are going to play with desperation and try to get one.
Yep. Coach, right now it's the 4th of June, right? The 4th of June. The last time the Knicks lost a game, April 23rd. They don't remember what it feels like to lose. They're trying to win every game from here on out. So I've got a few things from this game that I want to talk about that I talked about on the broadcast. You know, the thing about being a broadcaster is when you say something during a timeout and then the team comes out and does it, you feel fantastic, right? Because it's like, how did he know? Was he in the huddle? So what impressed me from the Spurs is they won the non-Wemby minutes in the first stretch of the game when Wemby went for his first rest. They were getting crushed in those minutes against OKC. That's when OKC would get back into the game. They won those minutes by 8 points early on. Cornette did a good job, and Dylan Harper was having a huge impact off the bench. Those 8 points were all from him. He was phenomenal. Okay. I really liked that. And I said on the broadcast, I said, if you're the Knicks, when you see Wemby go to the bench, because they mirrored it with Karl-Anthony Towns going to the bench, I said, you don't have to match the minutes because you got to use these minutes to your advantage. So leave Karl-Anthony Towns out there when Wemby's getting his rest. And in the third quarter, when Wemby went for his rest, Towns went on a streak, absolutely crushing it. So these are the kind of adjustments that the coaches are going to look at, their substitution patterns moving forwards in this series. And speaking of Dylan Harper, he really impressed me tonight. He finished on 16 points in 28 minutes. One thing I don't understand.
Let's see if we have the same thing.
Why in the hell was De'Aaron Fox in the game down the stretch instead of Dylan Harper? Now, I know that's that De'Aaron Fox, Now, De'Aaron Fox is your max player. And if you don't play him down the stretch, Rich Paul's going to be in a bad mood and he's going to call you after the game and ask why his guy's not playing. This is the NBA Finals. You can't care about contracts. You can't care about anything else. I'm convinced if Harper was in the game instead of Fox down the stretch, the Spurs would have won this game. 100% without a doubt.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he wasn't in the game.
And De'Aaron Fox, 7 points in 38 minutes, 3 of 13 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. I know you have an ankle injury from the OKC series and so on and so forth. Okay, why are you in the game when Harper is playing so well? So 2 minutes, 15 seconds left in the game, right? The Spurs are up 1, 95 to 94. These are the possessions that ensue. Brunson gets a catch and shoot 3 off an offensive rebound, right? They go down the other end. Fox misses from 9 feet out. Josh Hart grabs the rebound. He grabbed 14 of those. Fantastic game. And then Fox fouls Bridges with 4.3 seconds left on the shot clock when Bridges is shooting a on-the-move turnaround fadeaway desperation shot. He gets 2 free throws, knocks them down. Now they're up 99-95. Then Wembanyama dribbles the ball off his foot. Ball goes the other way. Brunson, a little up and under in the mid-range to extend the lead. Then Wembanyama forces a 3, and Fox pushes OG Anunoby while he's going for the rebound out of bounds, which leads to 2 automatic free throws for the Knicks. De'Aaron Fox sold the game. I know Wemby had a turnover in there, but that was a horrible stretch in the final 2 minutes 15 from De'Aaron Fox, and I'm watching it, and I'm looking at Dylan Harper sitting on the bench, and I'm thinking, he's been your best player tonight. Champagne was hot in the first half. He had 15 points in the first half. He had 1 point in the second half.
Yeah.
And that's, Harper has to play those minutes.
Yeah, and that's the role of, and the head coaching position is so hard because there's a million things going on. It's going in real time. It's fast. But that's the role of an assistant coach. Coaches, we have so damn many of them now, but the, you know, is to be there and to just say, hey, let's get so-and-so in there. And that, and because sometimes, you know, you like you said, Fox is your max player, you know, so you don't look at it out there that that's a weakness, except things are happening so quick. He kept mistake on top of mistake on top of mistake. You don't know those are going to happen all in a row, but they did. But Dylan Harper, I thought, was their best player really of the night.
Getting downhill, attacking the basket, playing good defense. He was fantastic.
Plays under control, you know.
Yeah, really, they said
so poised.
They said on the commentary that he's the strongest one and done guard that's come straight into the league in terms of his strength in recent years. And I can't really think of an example with the way that he's able. I saw one play where he puts his shoulder into OG Anunoby and knocks OG down to the floor. And if you know how strong OG is, that's pretty damn crazy.
On him. Wow.
Yeah. Victor Wembanyama, as I mentioned earlier, really struggled in this game. He had 6 turnovers. He missed a whole bunch of shots. And the Knicks did a great job guarding him. What adjustments can they make to get Wembanyama going? Besides the obvious, stop staying behind the three-point line, dribbling, crossovers, step-back threes.
I think the big thing, the thing that you and I talked about the other day on our show, was how are they going to be able to recover from the emotional high of winning? I mean, like, they acted like they won the championship.
Mm. And I don't blame them for that. I'm not mad at that.
No. But how are they going to come down? Wimby even addressed it yesterday in a press conference and said, we have to come down, which now we were at Tuesday. So you had Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. You still hadn't recovered. So I think that was a big factor. The home court. And I vote, you know, I always tease on our show all year that sometimes the biggest things I worry about when you have a huge win is your players suffering back injuries from everyone patting you on the back. And so you can only imagine in a basketball crazed environment like San Antonio that every place you go, they're telling you how great you are and all that. And it doesn't get your mind in a focused way of, frankly, competing. So now they got punched, as we like to say, you got punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're, and I mentioned this the other day that I find that when you're a very, very young team, if you've never gone through big games and, you know, that all of a sudden everyone in your family is coming to town and now you're worried about where people are staying, tickets for the game, restaurants to go eat. You're doing everything except focus on what your normal routine is.
Yeah. You know who really impressed me in this one? As he often does, Mr. OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby might not make it to the Hall of Fame, but if there was a role player Hall of Fame, he's first ballot. He does everything you want in a role player. There was a stretch to start the fourth quarter where Brunson was resting. He comes in with 3 buckets, one after the other. The first one going downhill, the next one a catch and shoot 3, and then the third one, He's got Wemby guarding him in the corner. He jab steps him three or four times, then shoots over Wembanyama, and it was big insane. Time. Yeah, OG was fantastic.
I thought in the first half he really couldn't make a shot. First half. And then the second half, that's what good players do. They just take their time. They adjust. And that is such a mature team to, and they play with confidence. That's coaching. I'm being honest. Yep. That's coaching. You know, the whole coaching staff, not one guy. It's not Mike only. The whole coaching staff, they have a really good staff, and that they play with confidence and a sense of calmness, which is really important, I think. You know,
and to copy that point, when Brunson went back to the locker room with his knee injury, so Harrison Barnes fell into his knee after Shamet pushed him, he went into the locker room and the Knicks actually closed the lead without Brunson because their defense was so dialed in. They got good minutes from Alvarado. They got some minutes from Jordan Clarkson. They had minutes from McBride. They had minutes from Shamet. Stepped up. Shamet with double digits off the bench, 13 points. And, you know, just the togetherness of this group to steady the ship whilst their captain was unavailable and keep them in the game, because it could have all fallen apart at that moment.
Yeah, I love Alvarado. I get to see him in New Orleans for a few years now. And the thing I love is he's a spark plug. It gets you going off the bench. He's combative. He is not afraid to take anyone on. He's fearless. I just think he fits perfectly with the Knicks. One of the really great deadline trades in the league this year. But I thought they were really outstanding. And so, but that's what good teams do. They have a bench. And some of the guys that didn't play well in the first half, the bench players, Mike didn't use them in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's also good coaching.
Yeah. You know, Mitchell Robinson playing with a broken hand as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think that, you know, is really smart. They stole the game. I think they were down 14 points in the second half. Am I right?
Yeah.
At one point in the beginning of the second half.
Yep.
And then think about it. And then you go from 14 down and win by 10. That's a 24-point turnaround in less than a half.
Yep. It's the same way they walked down that 22-point lead of the Cavs in game one in the last series. We've seen this story before.
It's a great, great trait that they have. I'm excited because we're going to have a series. Mm-hmm. I was worried the Knicks were going to come down and lose two down here and be fighting for their life.
And I know there's a couple of people out there who do miss our old friend, Mr. Armstrong. And he would always say this saying on every playoff series we talked about: the series doesn't begin until the road team wins a game.
Yeah,
that's ladies and gentlemen, the series has begun in game one.
Yeah, no, that's an old saying by an old coach in this league. And, you know, and it's a good saying. And but boy, it's started now.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. And so, all the biggies were there, the commissioners there, you know, and
sitting next to the president of Disney.
Yeah, not bad.
Hey, that's a lot of money. Sure,
you're probably sitting with the head of Amazon and Prime. Yeah, so
you man, know. I don't know if Jeff Bezos even knows my name, but did you see Coach?
As long as they signed the checks.
Hey. Did you see the fan run onto the court to try to take a selfie with Wembanyama?
No.
There was a fan, I think it was in the fourth quarter, he runs onto the court to try and take a selfie. Some idiot just runs into the court in the middle of the game, and he gets dragged off by three security guards. What the hell were you thinking, man? What's like, you're going to be banned from NBA games for the rest of your life. And
yeah,
for what? A million views on TikTok? They ain't going to pay the bills, son. That's like $4 in your account for a million views. They ain't paying no bills, bro.
No.
That was ridiculous. So moving forward, if you're coaching the Spurs, what's the biggest adjustments you make going into game two?
I've got to make sure we take good shots every time down the court. I want to get Wimby in around the basket. I want to do what they did in the fourth quarter against OKC. I want to use him for some middle pick and rolls around the foul line where he can roll out, go to the rim, and then post up from there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do things like that. I want to get my guards downhill. And I want to move the ball and get good shots. They were too quick in their shots. They were too loose with the ball. And the second half, zero running game, 1 point on fast breaks in the second half because they weren't getting stops.
Yep. And, you know, in the first half, Champagne was 5 of 6 from 3. And a lot of those threes were coming because when Wembanyama rolls, as you just described, the defense was collapsing, leaving Champagne open on the weak side for a catch and shoot corner three. Yeah. That wasn't happening in the second half.
Yeah, what you have to do, when they rolls, you know, that weak side defender, they call it, he has to tag or bang the guy that's rolling. And so, you know, strategically, you want to put your best shooter in that corner. And then, you know, I think they made a terrific adjustment on that, you know, to make sure, you know what, let's not let that guy get any shots. Let's make him put the ball on the floor. And that's what you have to do with Champagne.
Yep, tough game for Vassell as well. 1 of 6 from behind the arc. A very tough three-point shooting night for the Spurs. 25% at home is not what you want in the playoffs because you're going to shoot better at home than on the road. And if it gets worse than this, then sheesh.
And that's what happens when you play against good defensive teams. You know, you got to take good shots. You just can't. You can't. And this is what happens. You know, they said, well, you know, they're young, but they're, you know, you don't need experience. This is when experience counts. You know, it's like regular season games are one thing, playoff games are another thing, finals games are a whole different animal.
The Knicks, I never thought that they would become this elite of a defense. Do you know the only teams to lead the playoffs in offensive rating and defensive rating since 1997?
Incredible.
The Lakers in 2001, Kobe and Shaq. The Warriors in 2018 with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. And this Knicks team. They have become historically good on both sides of the basketball. We are going to keep an eye on this series. We'll be wrapping up every game as the series progresses. Thank you to everyone who messaged me asking us to do episodes after every game. We have your back. Before we get out of here, Coach, there is something I wanted to talk about, if you will indulge me to listen to this. Not sure if it is on your radar, but the big news in the gap, because there's a gap between the conference finals ending and the finals beginning, right? And I never know what to do with my life, but big news broke in the world of sneakers. If you guys didn't know, I'm a big sneakerhead. I have hundreds of pairs of sneakers and I work closely with sneaker brands over the past number of years. Steph Curry decided to take his talents all the way to China to sign with Li Ning. Now, Steph spent the season after he left, parted ways with Under Armour. He parted ways with Under Armour because a large part of his deal with them was in stocks of the company. Their stock price was crashing. He made a swift exit and he has played mind games with everyone all season because he wore everything. He was wearing Kobe's, he was wearing T-Max, he was wearing Iverson's, he was wearing Ant-Man's, he was wearing everything. And he finally settled on Li Ning as his new sneaker brand. So the Curry brand, which he retained the IP for. By the way, you know, this stuff really fascinates me. If you guys want to hear more about this kind of stuff, it's something I'm looking to talk about more, maybe on a different channel, but let me know if you enjoy this. He's taking his talents to Li Ning in the amount reported was $400 million. I think it's going to be a lot higher than that. It's a full basketball run. It's a athleisure wear and a golf run because he's very into his golf and that might be something he does after he retires. What people don't know about Li Ning is they are the biggest brand in China. They have stores all over the place. They, as part of this deal, they're going to have Curry brand stores where they stock exclusively Steph Curry merchandise. And when you think about the population of China, it's far superior to the population of America. And with the way the economy is going, they have more money to spend on sneakers and the likes. And it's really interesting for me because Li Ning was first hit the mainstream with Dwayne Wade when Dwayne Wade left Jordan Brand and signed with Li Ning. And his close personal friend, Jimmy Butler, then signed with Li Ning as well when Dwayne Wade retired from the league. And now Jimmy Butler gets traded to the Warriors. The first thing he did when Steph said he was leaving Under Armour was send boxes and boxes of shoes to Steph's house. Mm-hmm. So you can see the kind of influence, and it's weird how it's like trickled down from D-Wade, but what Steph's looking to do is build a whole brand the same way Michael Jordan has built the Jordan brand as a subsection of Nike. He's not trying to wear Li Ning sneakers, he's wearing Curry brand sneakers, which are made by Li Ning. And a lot of skeptics have said that Li Ning is not a good brand to wear, so on and so forth, but people who actually play basketball can tell you Li Ning makes some of the best performance shoes in the game right now. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I think if you look up Li Ning, and I've been to China 20 times, and he was a great Olympic athlete. I believe he was a gymnast, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and 35 years ago, and a great gymnast. And so he's had this brand. And when, on all my trips there, you can see they have stores everywhere. And it is a great product. And I think Steph Curry's and the people that help him business wise are some of the very best there are.
Mm-hmm. In that Silicon Valley.
He's got so many different things. It's not just endorsements and that. He's into a lot of stuff. And I give him a lot of credit, and it's well thought out. And they put out a tremendous, Leaning put out a tremendous video announcement today.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I wanted to talk about that because, you know, someone sent it into one of my group chats. They were like, this is terrible. I said, no, this is fantastic, right? So here's the three things that jumped out to me in that announcement video, right? First of all, it showed like how bought in Steph Curry is to the Leaning brand. Because a lot of announcement videos is just kind of like the athlete shooting around wearing the brand, right? But he's talking to camera about all the reasons why he signed with Leaning. Second thing is he told the story of the brand. Before that video, I had no idea that Leaning was actually a Chinese Olympic gymnast.
Yeah, then started his own brand. I knew that from my travels there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who Leaning was. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the air miles like you, coach. I'm not in China all the time. But the other thing that I really liked in the video was he kind of threw shade at other brands because the emphasis on certain words, I'm proud to partner with a brand who truly understands athletes. And, you know, he's just throwing a little shade because everyone thought he was signing with Nike. You see Nike's stock price going down. They're going to need that, you know, that World Cup survival package because they're really going hard with that and they're doing some cool stuff there. But he was throwing a little bit of shade. I thought the announcement video was fantastic. Did you know that Steph Curry's Under Armours were the most sold performance shoe in America in 2016 when he was at the peak of his powers?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because people think like Steph's past his prime. There's a whole generation of kids who have grown up with Steph Curry as their favorite player. And
yeah, the thing about Steph,
separates him from Jordan is no one can be Steph Curry. But anyone can think they have a chance to be Steph Curry, right?
Size-wise.
Yeah, because he's a smaller guy and he shoots a lot. It's not like he's got crazy hops. And it's not like Wembanyama's got a sneaker coming out with Nike soon, although his contract actually ends in October.
October.
Yeah. Yep. So that's going to be something we keep an eye on too. But if the Wembanyama shoe comes out...
Big men do not sell shoes.
Big men don't sell shoes. He might buck the trend because of international appeal. So like they'll do numbers in France. But you don't play like Wembanyama. You want to play like Steph Curry. You can't physically play like Wembanyama.
Right.
So it's really interesting to me. And the whole generation of kids who have grown up with Steph Curry as their idol, they're going to remain fans of Steph Curry the same way that when I was a kid, Michael Jordan was the biggest star and I still wear Jordans all the time. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter that he's in the last stage of his career. He's Steph Curry. And to a lot of people, he is their Michael Jordan. So I think this is a huge move. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. I'm really fascinated by kind of the marketing side of sports and whatnot. So that's something I'll be looking at doing more of in the off season. So if you guys have enjoyed this little segment, please do let me know. And if you found it was boring and don't want me to do it again on this show, please also let me know.
We won't listen to you if you don't like it because I enjoyed the hell out of it. Good job.
Well, this is the thing. Like, there's so much of the business of basketball is tied to what actually happens on the court, right? Like, sure. I already know Nike has prepared assets for Wembanyama and Brunson, regardless of who's winning the series, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how those roll out. I know that Adidas had stuff prepped for if the Timberwolves had won their series and Ant-Man was able to play, and Shea had assets with Converse that threw a lot of shade at other people, but they didn't get to be seen. So a lot of the cool stuff you see is actually based on the results of the game. So everything is interlinked, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how this all goes. But one thing that I'm a little bit nervous for, coach, I don't know if the city of New York is going to survive if the Knicks manage to pull this out of bag. I've not checked my phone since I got home from the studio, but I imagine they're going crazy right now after a game one win. I don't know what's going to happen if they win three more games.
I know.
And they're going to have a special...
I'm nervous too.
I'm also a little nervous because of the special guest they're going to have in game three. I don't know how the crowd's going to react to that.
I'm not allowed to comment.
Yeah, we're gonna not even say no names, but I'm sure you guys can figure out what we mean. But no, I'm excited for game two.
When I was running the Knicks in early, 2004 to 2008, President Donald J. Trump, then citizen Donald J. Trump, was our guest at so many of our home games, and he loved it. And I only worry about, I don't know how he's a big deal then, but I just can't imagine now in a basketball atmosphere, because Donald, as we used to call him, sat courtside right opposite our bench.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just can't put him down on the court.
He's really got to be in a box or something, but they're going to put him on Celebrity Row.
He won't do that.
He ain't going to do that. He's going to be front and center. He's going to be next to Spike Lee if he has his way.
Yeah, no. And so he won't be by Spike. He used to be by Spike, actually. It's the logistics are incredible to do that, you know. But I love that he wants to go. I love that Dolan invited him and everything, and it's great. You know, and stuff. And it's great that he loves sports like he does, you know, but it's a hard thing. This is the player's game, so to speak.
Yeah. So here's why I say this. I've seen the UFC arena he's built on the front lawn of the White House. I'm hoping that he enjoys Game 3 so much they build a basketball court on the front lawn of the White House too. Why not?
I don't think so.
They all got outraged when Obama made a basketball court in the White House. And yet here we are with a... We're not going down a road. Which other podcast is doing a game recap, in-depth marketing analysis, and politics all at once? You are very welcome. That's been another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. Thank you for rocking with us. And subscribe to the channel. We're going to be back after game 2. Coach, you get to avoid me for a couple of days now because there's a little rest in between games where the players do media availability, practice, shoot around, walkthrough. And we get to go again. Have you got a prediction for game 2?
If you were in America right now, if you were with me, I would take you to breakfast right now for you.
Oh, that's so kind. Buy me breakfast. I don't usually get that.
Yeah. All right.
You got a prediction for game 2, coach?
Spurs.
Spurs. Yeah. I said before the series, I said Knicks, Spurs, Knicks, Spurs, Knicks. Knicks and 6.
It's the only way they can do it, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, let's see what's in store. Subscribe to the channel, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And we look forward to you joining us in the next episode. The NBA Finals are here. The Knicks are up 1-0. They've got 3 more to win. Let's see what happens. Until next time, get buckets.